have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four! I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Johnny. Johnny, what's good, dude? Running the little duo is here. Josh and Sam were unable, unfortunately, to make it here this evening. But as Johnny said to me just a second ago before we started recording, it's like, gotta hop on. Why, Johnny? What do we have to do at the very minimum?
Just to start, do the intro for the score.
The final score, 84-44 over Northwestern here. I mean, it's not just the score. It was the, like, different X's. You know, it was the 5X, 1X, 7X, 2X, 8X, 3X. Like, those are just as immaculate as the score, the final score itself. So, like, let's at least talk about it a little bit. I mean, shit, man. Like, elite is honestly the thing that comes to my mind. You know, I was watching was like SportsCenter or First Take or whatever, and they were like, if Sam Darnold wins the Super Bowl, is he an elite quarterback? And I'm like, you guys don't know what the word elite is. And I know we throw that word around a lot very easily. Like, Illinois is starting to become this year an elite team.
Yes. And that was just pure domination, both offensively and defensively. I mean, obviously, when this team makes threes, they're going to win almost every single game. That's just like the way that they operate. It's going to happen. But holding Northwestern to 44 points is like that's a Big Ten team. Okay. Nick Martinelli is like, I don't know, a top 20 player in the Big Ten. He's a very good player. These guys are college basketball players and they looked helpless out there. It was amazing.
I mean,
and there are so many stats from this game. I think, Maddie, I think we have the same favorite stat, though. And it wasn't about this specific game. It was a broader statistic.
Yeah, I think I know. Is it the 20-point win? Is it the 20-point, 20-win seasons? Is it the seven?
No, it's not even that. That was a really good one.
Is it about the game? No, it's not about the game. It's about something broader than the game itself. It's about – can I get it? Well, give me a hint.
It's specific to the two teams that we're playing.
Does it extend our the number of games we've beaten Northwestern by to like 100 or something like that?
Okay.
Crazy like that.
see, it does extend it to 102, but okay, it's not 100,
that. Yeah, not 100 days, but 102. Yeah.
Yes, but that's not the stat that I'm talking about.
Oh, fuck.
Okay. Do you want me to say it?
Yeah, give it to me.
All right. The stat is that Chris Collins has still never won in the State Farm Center.
Ah, there we go. There we go. Yes.
The last time they won was in 2012, 2013 in the John Gross era. Bill Carmody was their coach. Chris Collins has been there for 13 years, and he's just come to Champaign empty-handed every single year. And this is the one team we always play twice.
Yes.
Just that's got to be the most like depressing feeling in the world for Chris Collins when he steps into that arena.
I don't think I realize that he hasn't beaten, you know, you figure they get a little plucky, you know, once or twice. Obviously, I know they've gotten a little plucky, you know, in their arena with a couple overtime wins. You figure they sneak out, you know, one of these years, you know, especially some random year where, you know, especially I'm talking like 8 or 9 or 10 years ago, right? Even
yes.
At the start of the Chris Cup, where John Gross is still the coach, and it's like, okay, you know, they're kind of having a down year. Even back then, when Illinois wasn't that good, still couldn't pull it out against little brother right there. That is an awesome stat, Johnny. That is an awesome stat.
It's amazing. And your point about little brother, the chants were so much fun.
They were
just
good.
You could audibly hear it from the TV.
It was great. Crush.
And
yeah.
Just Crush was very fun. I don't know, Matt, if you saw it on Twitter, but people were saying this is the most important game of Brad Underwood's career. I didn't really understand
there's
it. I was hoping
there's a
Josh.
Joke.
Okay.
There,
okay.
I saw some graphic that had North. Clearly, it was like a mistake. I don't know who's sixth in the AP poll. It might be Gonzaga. They accidentally put Northwestern's logo on whoever's supposed to be sixth. So they were basically saying it's number five Illinois versus number six Northwestern. Obviously, Northwestern is not ranked sixth. So I think it was that because people were like, holy shit, since when is Northwestern ranked sixth in the nation? So I think that was the joke right there. There was some, I don't know if it was FS1, someone tweeted the AP poll and they had the Northwestern logo at six. So I think people were kind of piggybacking on that as like a joke. But I saw that too. I was like, it is far, far, far from the most important game. You can make the argument going in it was one of the least important games in the sense of like you're probably going to kick the shit out of Northwestern. Obviously, no one had it as a 40-point affair, but like, yeah, I think this is just like it was just a complete joke.
It's funny. I came into the game a little nervous just because having seen them play at Northwestern, it was a pretty close game. And Kylan was very important in that game guarding
Yes.
Nick Martinelli.
Yes.
So I was a little nervous. I was like, hey, I don't care if it's a 1 point win or a 40 point win. Let's just get a W on the win column and focus on Michigan State. But the guys had other ideas because every single role player is hitting threes. Jake Davis is hitting threes. Ben Humberkaus is hitting
Ben.
threes. Big Z is hitting threes. It was just incredible. And Northwestern felt like they would rather hold Keaton Wagler to under 20 points than win the game.
Fine.
Like,
Congrats.
okay, congrats on double teaming him. We have a really good passing and shooting team. So he'll pass it to Tommy or Merk out of the pick and roll. They'll pass it along to one of our great shooters who then will make an extra pass. Like, this is just not the team that you can completely double team because they'll make you pay for it.
But what else do you do? Again, Nick, this is when you're a top five team and you've got like what? I mean this non-sarcastically. Like I understand Northwestern's game plan of look, Keaton Wagler's coming off of an insane last three, four games. It has to be our MO to try to stop him and essentially quote unquote kind of get lucky and have some of these still really hot shooters miss. What else do you do? And I get it. Like Illinois still shot better than expected from three. Obviously, they were like up, 15 for 29 or at one point, like that's still a higher than expected average. You never expect to shoot, 52%. They ended up 3-point shooting. They ended up 17 for 38, 45%. Like that's obviously still a lot higher than you would expect if you play that game again right now. You probably don't shoot 45%. But genuinely, what else do if you're Northwestern in that case?
I guess, yeah, I think you would maybe just try to have Keaton beat you one on one. And instead of really going hard into the double team, it's just kind of switch. And obviously, that's what Purdue tried to do, right? They tried to do that instead of the double team, and he went off for 46. So
Pick your poison.
you're right, Maddie, that like Keaton Wagler and the Illinois offense are just going to present problems for you. That's what happens when it's the number five team in the nation and the number one offense in the
Ever.
country.
The number one offense.
Like,
We can just say the number one offense ever, right? Like
Yes.
that is a fun privilege that we get to say. So you want to take away Keaton? Oh, okay. It's not like we are this one trick pony. Like I feel like you've seen Illini teams in the past kind of rely on offense from maybe one or two guys. No, you have the best offense. You want to take away our All-American, our freshman All-American, our potentially Big Ten player of the year? That's fine, but we got six other dudes that can shoot lights out on you.
Davin Mirkovic is like swishing every three. Okay. Like
He was feeling it tonight, yeah.
he was feeling it. Andrei Stojakovic is just getting to the hole whenever he wants to. Like he's just pushing the ball. And it's crazy that this team is missing Kylan. Like
Crazy.
you're missing the guy who we thought was maybe going to be our best player. So the ceiling is just incredibly high.
This is no disrespect to Kylan, but I think I thought about it maybe momentarily as the ball tipped off. And I'm like, okay, here we go, another game without him. And then I genuinely didn't think about it a single time until you basically said it to me right now. And that's no disrespect to Kylan. That's just respect to the other seven dudes that played today.
I mean, Brad Underwood said in a press conference, they're like, oh, are you worried about not having Kylan? He's like, I just don't think about injuries. I know which guys I have on the team and we'll play those guys. It's the next man up. It's everyday guys. And I feel like coaches sometimes say that as a coach speak to keep the guys who are available, I don't know, just like engaged and not give an inch. But I feel like Brad actually means that, and he's kind of psychotic in that way.
100%. This is one of the main differences. Let me say there are many differences between me and Brad Underwood, but one of them is he doesn't think about injuries. Brad, you're up 30 with like 6 minutes left. It's getting a little chippy. He's so competitive. I think you can take the boys. I think you can take the stars out. I think it's okay if Brandon and AJ and Blake and Mihailo, and then you got to maybe throw in Ben or Zvani in there, play for 6 minutes at the end. Yeah, you probably only win by like 31 instead of 40, but that's okay. When I saw Andre kind of go down there for a second, I was like, here it is. This is exactly.
Yes.
Like,
Maddie, we are children of the 2010s Bulls.
Yes,
where Derrick
I was
Rose
at that
got
game.
Injured.
I was at that game. I'm like,
Derrick Rose gets injured when the game's out of reach with a minute left. Yeah. So we've seen Thibodeau just keep guys in, and there's some comparisons for sure between Brad and Tibbs. They're tough
dudes.
Guys
old
who just want to win at all costs. But yes, I was thinking the exact same thing of, okay, Brad, we're up 40. If we win by 30 or 40, at one point we were winning by 49. Like, the style points don't matter. Let's just get these guys out of the game and healthy for Michigan State.
I agree.
That's what matters. We're trying to win a Big Ten title here, and I'd be happy with an 18-point win, you know? Like,
yeah.
Thankfully, no one got hurt. Andre did get hit in the face a little bit.
Yeah.
But we walked away hopefully unscathed. But
hopefully,
a little bit of trauma response.
Oh my God,
I looked away.
I mean, I know you're not playing like a Thursday, Saturday. You have, 4.5, 5 days. You still have to travel. Let them get a couple extra minutes of rest. You know, he took Keaton out at, I think, 5:55. Let them get a couple extra minutes. You're starting to get into the back half of the Big Ten play where you're starting to build a little bit of that, like, fatigue up a little bit.
Yeah. Like, sometimes guys hit the freshman wall, like, and we're playing Saturday. So it's like a Wednesday to Saturday.
Today's Wednesday, not Tuesday. I said Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused.
Just said like you have 4.5 days rest. Like, it's a Wednesday to Saturday. Like, it's fairly tight. Like, give our boy Keaton some rest. But the one thing that I did love was Tommy, who fouled out of that game.
I love it. Talk your shit, Tommy. Dude, that you have to let him get that technical foul. It's kind of like when you'd give your little brother the, like, controller that didn't work. Like, you have to let him get a technical foul at a certain point. And it's like, this was the perfect time to let him get a T or up 30. They miss both free throws. The kids get nuggets. Like, you gotta let them. I kind of wish that, like, Merk picked one up. I wish Vonnie picked. I kind of wish they all picked one up here. Just kind of let him blow off some steam here.
Exactly. Like, it's perfect for Brad to be like, okay, Tommy, you got your one. You're never doing this again. But doing it when you did was amazing because we gave up 0 points at the process. Every single fan in the stadium now gets McNuggets and loves you. Like, it really could not have turned out better for a guy, Tommy. And then falls out of the game because he's still just being really physical when he's up 49 points. But
these guys embody their coach. Like, they probably didn't want to come out. They probably wanted to play the entire game. They probably wanted to beat Northwestern by 50 points. They probably wanted to 9x 4x them, right? Like, you totally embody your coach. So yeah, I'm all for, win big. I'm all for beat your rival, but I'm also all for get out healthy, especially when it got a little chippy at the end there. But it seems like we got out healthy. Let's rest up, because holy shit, there's a big one on Saturday.
Huge one. And Michigan State coming off of two losses. They just lost to Minnesota.
They almost, do you watch the end of that game?
Yeah.
They're up like 15, and then they, like, that is the difference between a good team, and I'm talking about Minnesota. Like, that is a bad team trying to hold on against a good team right there. Like, four missed free throws in a row, just like turnovers. It's just like slowly watching a plane car crash right there. Like, come on, Minnesota, hold on, please.
Yeah. Rutgers did the exact same thing with Michigan State, where they could not land it. But it was, it was not fun to watch. And obviously watching it because we're waiting for Illinois to turn on. Yeah. And now we have to turn on the Fox Sports app because Minnesota can't just escape with a victory,
Yeah, but they did. And that gives us Illinois a little bit of breathing room, right? Like, I feel like Saturday doesn't become the sort of must win that it was, maybe going into this week, right? You are now 11-1. MSU is 9-3. So even if you lose, you're still a full game ahead of them in the Big Ten. So I feel a little bit better. It felt like so do or die. And like, damn it, we don't have Kylan. We're not fully healthy. Like, we really needed this. So, and who am I to doubt this team? Again, you are going to have a third Saturday in a row of an opportunity of a road game at a top 10 opponent, which is just incredible statistic here if we do that. But it feels a little less do or die for the title now, which is nice. You'll have one extra game, I think, to work with.
Agreed, but Michigan's still tied with us at 10
That's
and
true.
1.
That's true. I'm saying
So,
just with them, though. I'm saying
yes.
in general, not or just with MSU, not overall, but like you have a game
For
up on
sure.
MSU
Yeah,
now.
that's a good point. It's a good point. Like if they win, yeah, I agreed, agreed. I think now that you're at 11 wins though, I'm definitely starting to just like count the wins. Like, okay, how do we get to 17 and 3? Like
Yeah.
6-2 to 17-3 would be, that's like an average outcome at this point.
I
Like
mean,
it's insane to say that when you're 11-1, that like, yeah, 17-3 would be like in the middle of the bell curve, you know? Like there's a real path to 18-2 or 19-1.
yeah,
Like
you play.
obviously you gotta beat Michigan State. The hope is kind of like 1-1 against those two teams and then see how the rest unfold. But you got
Yeah.
some home games left.
Dude,
Like,
the schedule is not. You play two of the worst teams. You play two teams that are going to have the whatever the opposite of the quadruple bye. Like they're going to play on Tuesday of the Big Ten tournament. Like you have Oregon and Maryland, and you don't pencil anything in as a win in college basketball, especially when you're on the road, and especially when you go at Maryland given Illinois. But like your last two games there, like you got Oregon and Maryland, your expected wins there is like 1.9. Like, if you could find a way to go 1-1 against the Michigan and the Michigan States of the world, and then you got Indiana, USC, UCLA, and you go like 2-1, that's 17-3 right
Yeah,
there.
exactly.
But it never works out. It's never, MSU is probably counting the barn tonight as a win. Like
For sure,
it's
for
never
sure.
that easy. But it's not incomprehensible to believe that it could be a 17-3 season.
Exactly. I mean, right? You're like, well, okay, if you do win those last two games against Oregon and Maryland, that's 13 Big Ten wins. So then 3-3 would get you 16-4, 4-2 gets you 17-3. Like, what? These are just like such like achievable goals at this point, you know? Like, I feel like we as fans are always like, okay, well, you'll win some of the toss-ups, this and that. Like, now there are just such few games left on the schedule that, like, Wisconsin's going to be hard. Indiana's going to be hard
But you're gonna be
at
favored. But you're
USC
gonna be
at,
favored
yeah,
in all of those games. You're gonna
exactly.
are you you're not gonna be favored at Michigan State. Michigan might be essentially a pick 'em. You might be maybe a point favorite. Hopefully Kylan is back. Maybe you're like a point and a half favorite. You're gonna be favored essentially in every game except for Saturday down the stretch right there. It is not inconceivable to believe that you are the expected team. I'm looking at KenPom, right? We are expected to win. Not, I think MSU is 43%, Michigan is 49%, and every other game is well above 50% right there. So it is not inconceivable.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's a great time to be an Illini fan. Like you mentioned earlier, another 2020 win season. Just that's what Brad does. One of what four programs they said to have seven straight 20 win seasons in the regular season. It's us, Houston, SDSU, Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, I believe, was the
Okay,
fourth.
yeah, like that's insane. There's no blue bloods. There's no UNC. There's no Duke.
No Purdue.
No
No
Purdue.
Purdue.
Where's Kansas in that list? Like,
Where's
that's
UConn?
insane. Yeah,
Where's back-to-back
exactly.
champ? I mean, I would rather win back-to-back championships than,
Yeah.
but again, Brad, it just speaks to his consistency, right? His consistency at this point is elite, as we alluded to at the top of the show. His consistency is not good. His consistency is not great. His consistency is elite. And I understand that there are still fans or media or trolls that will say, well, he hasn't done it enough in the tournament, and there may be space for that in an argument down the line. But today I'm not focusing on that. Today I'm focusing on the fact that you're 11-1 in the Big Ten, control your own destiny, and you've got a big time showdown on Saturday night. I mean, is this team better? Do we Time will tell. There's a lot still to play out, but the 2020-2021 team, right? Are you better than them? I mean, they in terms of win streaks, I was looking at this before. They went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They won 7 in a row before they lost to MSU, and then they won again like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
Eight. I
six,
think they
seven,
went
eight before
15 of
Loyola.
16. They went
Yeah,
15 of
exactly.
16.
I mean,
So.
you're starting to get to levels of the 2021 team. I'm not saying yet they're better. I'm not ready to, cast my full judgment on them, but you are starting to get to that level, Brad Underwood team, where we might be watching his best team in Champaign yet.
Yeah, it's absolutely in the conversation. I mean, there are certain things about this team that are just way better than any other team that we've had, right? Zvonimir Ivicic is the best backup center we've ever had, right? The
Yeah.
team arguably gets better when he comes into the game.
He's the best backup center. How many centers is he better in general than have been in Champaign in the last 10 years, like years?
Yeah, it's like,
Almost all of them.
yeah, exactly. It's Kofi. And you could make an argument for Coleman, but that's really it. And obviously Tommy too. But like it's insane this team that he's put together. I mean, Keaton's amazing. David as a freshman is awesome. And you have all these guys who can shoot around him. It's the job that Brad's done is just unbelievable. And tonight's just a great example and reflection of that when the game against Northwestern felt like a bye game. It felt like the early non-con games where you're like, okay, we're just like up 70 to 20 right now. It was it had the feeling of a November game, which is incredible in the middle of Big Ten play.
I know they did miss a lot of open shots, right? Obviously, when you only score 44 points, there's I hesitate to use the word luck because obviously Illinois was the way better team. But like, I mean, S Southern scored 11 more points than you
Yeah.
did tonight. I mean, there I could find UT RGV scored 73 points, right? Colgate scored 65 points. Florida Gulf Coast scored 70. Jackson State scored 55, right? And I know these, again, there's no transitive property in college basketball, but like, you're right, Johnny. You turn the game on and you're like, man, it feels like November 13th here and you're playing Northwestern State.
Yeah, exactly. That was not Northwestern. It was Northwestern State.
I mean,
And
which is a school.
I mean, it's so great though to have a second half where you're not stressed out and you're just like watching, having a blast. Keaton Wagler hits a half court shot,
I mean,
a half court buzzer beater.
if that
And
was not, just a microcosm of the first half right there, of everything is in, right? I know there was a little clock confusion there with the shot clock and the game clock. You didn't think it counted, Johnny, but I
no,
knew
I
it.
didn't think it counted. I was texting you guys like,
I knew
no, it's
immediately.
like, yeah.
Real ball knowers know that sometimes the Champagne shot clock operator, lets it go there on the final possession of the halftime. Yeah, I mean that if that wasn't just a microcosm of the first half, I don't know what was, but yeah, I mean it felt like just the boys trotting out a mid-November night. We're kind of figuring out our rotation and ooh, let's see who's hot tonight. Let's see who's not. And yeah, I mean just elite.
Yeah, it was awesome. And it's funny enough, KenPom's MVP of the game, Andrei
I
Stojakovic.
mean, he's your leading scorer,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
He, which is not necessarily the reason for it, but I don't know what Ken's metrics are for deciding an MVP, if they're what the sort of quantitative formula is for it. But he looked good tonight. I loved his desire to drive to the rim. I know he missed a couple dunks. He missed a couple, almost
Yeah.
gimmies. But like, he looked good. He looked aggressive. Hopefully, this is kind of like a get right game for him, so to speak, because again, without Kylan, he might be very important Saturday night.
Oh, absolutely. He will be important Saturday. I mean, I think with the amount of like attention that Keaton's attracting, right? It opens up threes, but it also opens up driving lanes for Andre, who's just our best like straight line driver. So it makes sense. I know as an X's and O's guy, you can really appreciate that, but it makes sense that he would be successful. I mean, yeah, he had 17 points on 8 shots, 10 free throw attempts. Yeah, exactly. Like that's very efficient.
He had 10 of your 14 team's free throws. Again, we don't shoot a lot of free throws, so that's pretty crazy to see someone shooting double digit free throws, right? 10 of 14, Keaton 2 for 4. Or 9 for 10 for Andre, and then Keaton 2 for 4.
Keaton weirdly has been so good, and then his free throws have dipped just a tad. I feel like he's in his own head a little bit, but not concerned.
We'll take the, if that's the bad with the good, then I'm signed up for the rest of the I'm signed up for the rest of the good here. I had a thought, Johnny. I've actually was meaning to text both you and Sam, who the three of us are kind of, you know, we are the Bears fans of the group, so to speak. Do you kind of feel like Michigan State gets the like Packers benefit of the doubt scheduling, where it always feels like they have like the Saturday night home game, we go to them, or they'll get like the Sunday morning CBS home game. It always feels like they get the Breslin Center home games. Maybe I'm just completely
ass. You're
it
not.
It feels like they
not,
get the classic, not. Oh, Packers are always home in their primetime game, week 16. It always feels like these games are at MSU.
Correct. I mean, they just had the Friday night game against Michigan this weekend. Like, Josh actually is really in on this.
Okay, because, I'm glad I'm not just, it's not in my own head here.
No, because Josh likes to track it because of recruiting, where it's like, oh, you want to have the weekend games at home so you can like have all the recruits be available in there and in the building at this really like exciting venue with a good team on national television. So there's definitely a conspiracy theory, and I think there's even some facts to it. I remember a couple of years ago, Josh charted it, and it was like, okay, they have 5 weekend games, and we had 3, and ours were on Sunday, and theirs were Saturday, like, and maybe we didn't have a single night game or something. So okay. MSU definitely gets the national appeal, and you know what? We're going to come into their building like we've done the past couple weekends and face another top 10 team on the road. And
without
I'm excited
Kylan,
about it.
Without Kylan, yeah, let's do it. Okay, I'm glad I'm not just totally conspiracy theory hat here, because it does feel like the Breslin Center does get some home cooking with their scheduling, so to speak. You turn on, like, it's a Sunday morning, you're turning on the Big Ten game, and it's like they're home against Indiana, or it's like Saturday, Friday night, and it's their home against Michigan, or we're traveling there. So I know we've got most of our games at home for the rest of the year. We've got a pretty advantageous schedule home and away wise, so I don't want to complain there. But it always does feel like Michigan State and Izzo, you know, week 17, you got to go to the Packers. It always feels like that's the Sunday night game, like. And it was true. It was like 8 years in a row, the Bears Packers. It was like the Lambeau game was the primetime game. So it felt like there's some green, the green teams get some unfair scheduling here. So I'm glad that I wasn't just making this up in my head, that it was, there's actually some substantial evidence to this.
Yeah. I'm a little bit more concerned about the homering call in the whistle in the game. Just because there's been a lot of traction about Jeremy Fears kind of being a dirty player.
There was another controversial play tonight.
Yes, he had another flagrant.
Michigan. Tonight, he at the barn, he went for the crown jewels there. I saw Izzo kind of didn't defend him this time, though. I saw there was a quote post-game. He's like, I don't know if I can start Jeremy, or he's got to do some growing up. Like, I do think at least that Izzo is kind of like, woke to the situation now, that, you know, if there's like one kind of somewhat dirty play, you can kind of say, well, it's a one-off. And but after a couple now, I think even Izzo's like, all right, Jeremy, I don't know if you can do that anymore.
I feel like he should just not play him.
Cool with that. Kylan, you rest your Jeremy.
Exactly. There was a time actually when Illinois was recruiting both Kylan and Jeremy, because Jeremy was from Joliet, and we were like, oh, the backcourt of the future is Kylan Boswell and Jeremy Fears. Neither of them ended up going to Champaign right out of high school. Obviously, Kylan made the right decision in transferring. Jeremy's brother, Jeremiah, also committed to Illinois. He is now in the NBA. That's how good that guy was. He had to reclassify because he wanted to play early, and we were like, sorry, we don't have any roster spots. So we went to Oklahoma. But yeah, just sit Jeremy. Why would he want to play his home state team? I think he needs a little time mentally to just kind of process what he's done and,
Yeah, learn.
learn and then have the rest of the Big Ten season to really prove that he's learned his lesson.
When Alan Griffin stepped on Sasha
Stefanovic.
Stefanovic, he was rehabilitated and he learned from his mistakes. Okay, so Jeremy, take this as an opportunity to learn from this young fella, and we're rooting for you along the way, buddy. But just take a game, take a game, take two, if for all I care. But take one and learn from your mistakes, like Alan Griffin did when he stepped on Sasha, which was kind of funny, I'm not gonna lie.
It's funny though, we say that and Brad's like, I want him to play. I want to play him. I want to beat him at full strength. They're like, once again, reasons why we're podcasters and
we're not
these
built for
guys
this.
are, yeah.
We're not built for this at all. Yeah, that's gotta hurt to get kicked down there for sure. So interesting, man. If you go into MSU and you actually do the thing for a third week in a row, I don't even
We're
want
going to
to.
be at a loss for words.
I
We're going to
mean,
be at Finley Dunn's on a Saturday night. We're going to be, oh man, we might have to do another podcast like Purdue. Oh
I hope
man.
some dude is climbing like some the tallest building in like whatever Shanghai also that Saturday night, so I can also split screen that too after a couple beers.
We are going to be insufferable though. If we're
Insufferable.
12-1, having had three straight top 10 wins, we are going to be the most annoying people on the planet. We like Keaton, we're not going to have words to describe Keaton Wagler. Like, it's going to be ridiculous.
That's gonna be a
So,
fun one. You have to tune in for that one. You promise, if you're listening to this right now, you promise that you'll send this to a friend and tune in as well if we win on Saturday night. So yeah, that'll be a fun night at Finley Dunn's. Coming down, it's probably gonna be standing room only there with like 40 minutes before tip. So if you want to get there, if you want to watch a game with like a couple hundred other Illini fans and you live in Chicago, come on down. It's gonna be fun.
it's going to be great. And we're going to be cheering on Keaton Wagler, who is now fourth in the KenPom Player of the Year.
Oh my God, he's up to fourth
He,
now?
yes, he's up to fourth.
My
He
God.
also, in KenPom's Big Ten Player of the Year, number one. That's from
Insane.
what we can would have considered kind of an off night for Keaton, right? But
Oh my God.
yeah.
This is awesome, Johnny. I mean, just meteoric rise. Just absolutely incredible. Man, I wish Mr. Thiesen was here to see this one.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's really too bad.
I
My
really do.
other favorite KenPom stat is we moved from fifth to fifth after beating Northwestern by 40. Like, that's how much we're respected by the ratings that they're like, oh, you won by 40 against Northwestern. Yeah, we kind of expected that. Like, that doesn't move the needle that much.
That is wild. And I'm sure obviously that says something too about the top four teams that are also really good. It's hard to unseat them. I mean, is who's fourth? Is
It's
UConn in that?
Iowa State.
Oh, that's right. Okay. They're sneaky good this year. Milan
Yes.
Mamaklovich. Yeah, they're fun. Hey, rematch, TJ? Rematch maybe end of the second weekend? Maybe
Yeah. Final four. Final
Final
four. We'll
four
see you guys.
would be pretty
Yeah.
fun. Would be pretty fun. Yeah, we'll be absolutely insufferable if we win Saturday. It's a big if, but it's not impossible. You are playing with so much momentum. You're playing with just so much confidence right now that I really do believe that and again, with all respect to Kylan, that they're like, yeah, no, we Kylan, we want you back, but Jake Davis is gonna hold it down. I mean, just in the second half he's gonna have one of those. Chill, guys. I got you. Three.
Yeah.
Chill, guys. I got you. I got you. So he's done more than an admirable job stepping in for Kylan in a couple weeks. I don't think anyone could have even like expected, respectfully to him. Like he's absolutely played tremendously well. And I think again, which guard is going to step up Saturday night? Will it be Keaton? Will it be Jake? Will it be Andre? But someone will have to step up. for the absence of Kylan again. Like one more big tough road game without him, hopefully. This is hopefully the last one.
Exactly. And another road environment to see David Mirkovic. Okay. He is
Doing his
gonna be,
little
oh my God, he's gonna be going crazy inside Breslin.
Oh
Just
my God.
he lives for it.
He
This
does. He
and
wants it.
just seeing the videos of these guys off the court, they just seem like they're having so much fun.
We
Like
are. Yeah, we are too. Yeah.
we are.
Yeah, but
And they're
they're
like,
having a blast.
David, who would you want to date? Who would you
Oh,
not
that.
let date your sister? And David's like, I would let everyone on the team date my sister daughter. It was
I did see
great.
that. I see that. That was a funny TikTok. Damn, that was fun, Johnny. Ron, a little duos here.
Yeah,
There
I mean,
was.
it was great. Like, we got a 12-game win streak. You got to have at least two guys on, talk
Hey.
about it. It's so much fun.
Absolutely. You would have done it solo. You would have if I wasn't able to. You would have just gotten on here and just kind of gone like, I'm sure you could have talked for at least 40 minutes just rogue solo on tonight's game.
It would have gone a little too Illini fanfic about how, oh, our seeding is still gonna become an issue on Selection Sunday. Oh, Brad is gonna win the conference but still not win Big Ten Coach of the Year because people have it out for him. So this was far better. And I can never do a podcast without your intro, Maddie. So,
That's why they hired me. That's why they brought
yeah,
me on
exactly.
for the intro for that one. Yes, we are really starting to think about that Midwest path here. And yeah, you're not blinking, Illini fans. We really are 20-3 and 11-1 in the conference here on February 4th. So thanks for listening to this episode of The Boardroom. We'll catch you on the next one, everyone. ILL.